and applied in our lives. For Lord, you have said by the fruit they will be known. Cause each one of us, Lord, to walk by the power of the Spirit that is within us, and that we will go on to do those greater works that you have set before us, that you will give us wisdom and understanding and guidance, that empowerment from on high. Lead us, Father, in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got a title here for us today, and we're calling this teaching, Be Wise How You Choose. Be wise how you choose. And I want to base this from something you know quite well, where the children of Israel, a new generation has come forth. The children of Israel under Moses have perished. They didn't make it into the promised land. God is still showing that there is a land to possess. You see, God never goes back on his promise that he gives. Even if the first generation didn't enter into it, it's still there. If you want to walk by faith and trust God. But of course, we know with Israel's history, she didn't totally possess the promised land. But nevertheless, God was faithful. He's making a new covenant now under Joshua. And this new generation is about to go in and take the land and root out the enemy. Because God has made this promise through the forefathers. And today we still, by faith, have a promised land that we're to enter in before the Lord returns. And that promised land is a walk in the Spirit, Romans 8, overcoming in all things, overcoming the enemy, the obstacles that we face day by day. So we see that there is that land still to be possessed by faith. The overcomers who are rising up now, Romans 8, to release groaning creation, who will be the sons of God, who will rule and reign with Christ when he comes to return on the earth. So we see this type running through a promise that God has given to those who want to walk and trust God in these last days. You see, God never breaks his promises, unlike we do. And what God fulfills and decrees will come to pass in our lives and with the church, with Christ at head, leading and guiding us forward. Nothing changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and always. He changes not, and his promises, we now fulfill it by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the children of Israel here are faced with a decision, a choice. And we see this in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua 24, and here Joshua has been reminding this new generation how their forefathers were brought out of bondage, out of Egypt. God heard their cries. They were under the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They saw the miracles of God. They saw how God brought them out of Pharaoh's grip and hold, and how he destroyed the armies of Pharaoh. When they crossed the Red Sea, how they were destroyed. They saw miracles unlike any other nation ever saw or will see. And yet they still didn't believe when the trials came. And that is why God permits and allows us to go through these trials and tribulations, because it's a form of deliverance for us, to stop us from complaining, griping and moaning and coming against God, but to yield to the Spirit and allow him to work that deliverance through us. And it can be very painful sometimes. In many ways, it's standing and watching the salvation of the Lord, who raises a standard against the enemy, attacking and destroying you and I. This is what he wants of us, to believe, to have faith and in the promises of God. And the children of Israel would have none of it. And they rebelled against God. So he warns, he's giving Israel's history, and he's saying to them now, what do you want? Choose what you want this day. And here it is in verse 13 of Joshua 24. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and eat of the vine and the olive groves which you did not plant. And that's what God always does. He's showing them already, even there, their rest that they have by faith. That faith is not trying to do it, trying to build for God. He's already saying it here, I have given it. I have given the land, a good land. The vines, everything, the same with us. He is the master builder living in our lives. He's given it to us through Jesus Christ. What he wants from us is to believe. Your faith is of great value. As I've said before, I will say it again. You are here, I am here today because of faith. To believe. And we don't always believe. And how do we know? The trials prove it. What comes out of our mouth, what we're confessing, you see. And he goes on, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river. And in Egypt, served the Lord. So he's dealing with idolatry. God still today deals with idolatry, with you and I. It's where our heart and affections lie. That's what it means. And if it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served, or where on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So there's a confession of faith. In other words, he's saying, whatever you want to choose, you decide, but I know where I'm going. I am serving the Lord and my household. And so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. There you go. But was that a confession from the heart, or simply because they were challenged to choose? You see? And sometimes God does the same with us. He challenges us through the word. We get stirred up, our emotions stirred up, but it's got to be more than that. God uses the emotions, he stirs us up, he challenges us so that we bow the knee in his presence and say, Father, I am in your hands, in your mercy, you know all things. But I know in my heart what I want, and that is to walk with you and serve you all my days. Are you getting it? That's the key. It's when we are honest before God. We are realizing, I cannot do this in my emotions, in my flesh. Even though you know all things, you know my destiny. God was doing exactly the same with Peter. I shared that again with you a few weeks ago. How he brought Peter to the end of himself, the end of his emotions, the end of his feelings, saying things, just lip service. God has a way of getting us to confess from the heart, not this lip service that we give because we've been stirred up. We've all done it, brothers and sisters. I've done it. And God has had mercy to show that he won't listen to lip service. He will listen to a confession from the heart. And that comes when we come to the end of ourselves, where we haven't got anything more to say. When God brings us to that place, and I thank the Lord when he brings me to that place where I've got nothing more to say, because he doesn't want to hear lip service. He wants it from the heart. And even in his grace and love and mercy, he places that in our hearts. Why? Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. He is the master builder. We've read it there to you in verse 13. I have given you the land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build. You dwell in them, you eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. So who did it? God. Not by might, not by power, by the Spirit of the Lord. It's when we let go, we're still in control, we're still trying. God has never saved you to try, but to be a son or daughter before your heavenly Father. He's not called you to labor and work and toil for him in that sense. Now, of course, we physically do work, we go out to work, but we believe that in our work and activities and what we do and work at home and everything, God blesses our hands, what we put our hands to. And that blessing is that principle that I will bless your hands. I will bless your going out and your coming in. I will bless you in the store. I will bless you when you have to buy those things. I will do it, says the Lord. You see? And then that starts taking out the striving, the anxiety and the fears that come behind it all, you see. And God is saying, be wise how you choose. Because God at times brings us to a place where he stops us in our tracks and he says, you have got to make some choices. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve what is trying to influence you and take you away and distract you? Or are you going to bring your gaze fully back on me? He does this with us, whether it's individually or corporately as a church. He's saying to the children of Israel, before they go in to root out the enemy, you have got to make a choice. Because what he's dealing with is their attitude, their motive, you see? Even our attitudes, our motives have to be clean in his sight. There's no stone unleft with this walk with God. He works to the finest detail within us. And that's what I marvel at. That has to be God. When I see him working with those little fine details in my life, I know that's the mighty hand of God working with me. And I know it's also your experience as well. But he always does it on the basis you choose. Why? Because he doesn't want robots. God does not control like the devil does, and like man does. In fact, he leaves us to our own will to the extent that you can blaspheme him. You can crucify him. That's how much he leaves you to choose. It's frightening. But he says, if you hand it over and you give me permission, I'll work. And that's why we're brought with a price through the blood of Jesus, and we're not our own. We're now his. This is where the will has to be challenged and worked on. And he's doing it. Let's turn to some familiar verses that we know very well, but I make no apology in looking at these again, because this is where faith comes, by hearing, reading, looking at this word in Philippians 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13.
I'm looking in Ephesians, forgive me. Right, here we are. A lot of scriptures here.
For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. That was a big deliverance for me years ago when I was battling with the will in despair. Why am I so willful still with you, Lord? And there it was when I saw it, when God just lit it up. You know, you read these scriptures and suddenly it's like the light just switches on. And I'm seeing this in a completely different light. For it is God who works in you. He does it. He's working. He's influencing. He does it in the way that he does. Often in love, in encouragement, maybe sometimes he has to chasten us. But the end result is still the same. What does he say in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we're called, predestined from the foundation of the world before creation was. Why? For the good pleasure of his will. And that's why we can take such comfort in such great verses that we read here. That God took the initiative, that I am because of the will of God, and it's his good pleasure. It's what gives him delight, pleasure. He delights in the saints. He delights in those whom he's called from the foundation of the world. You are his treasure, his delight. He's proud of us, his church. And boy, is he going to show us off at the end, that the world will see what gives God pleasure and joy. Isn't that wonderful that our Father thinks like that towards us? And when you think like that towards your children, they will respond to that, which is a type. It's great love. It's great encouragement. It reveals that we are special. Even though at times we disobey and do our own thing, he doesn't change. It doesn't change what he says. He's the same yesterday, today, and always will be. His love is unchangeable, unlike ours. And that's what he's saying. And that's why he works in you. That's why you're here today. You keep coming back. You keep listening. Because you hear the shepherd's voice calling you, wooing you, encouraging you, confirming to you all the time, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. It looks as though he has, but he hasn't. And that's why we can rest by faith, you see. And that's what he tells us to choose. What do you want to choose? It's up to you. God never forces. You know, many, many, many people followed Jesus in his ministry. And he challenged them. He turned to them. Many of them went back, went away. He didn't go running after them. He left them to his Father. He knew that he was sowing spiritual seed. And maybe that seed in some of them that went back takes a while to germinate. That wasn't his main concern. He left that with his Father. He did that which the Father revealed to him to do. And it's the same with us. It's the same with our witness, our sharing, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You cannot force people into this. They either hear or they don't. And you cannot force them into the faith, unlike what religion does. And certainly Islam, the Muslim faith, if you're born into a family and they're Muslim, you have to be a Muslim. There's the control, the witchcraft at work. No. God doesn't work like that because he's given you a free will. And that is a gift so that you choose that right course, that right path. And that is where God gives us the wisdom. Because we're on that path, we're walking with him, and we go through experiences with that path. Sometimes it's very calm, sometimes it gets a bit bendy and twisty, sometimes that path is hit by bad storms. But whatever it is, God is with us. He doesn't forsake us or leave us. And sometimes you have to make choices. It's like when we drive, you come to a T-junction, you can go left or right, or sometimes you can go over. And I experienced that a few times on my holiday, where the sat-nav didn't speak to me. And I thought, now where do I go? Do I go forward, left, right, whatever? I thought, Lord, you're in control of this car. I haven't a clue. And God led me. You see, he doesn't leave us or forsake us. We make those choices. And he even gives us the wisdom in which to make that choice. That's the wonderful thing about it. But it's always between you and God. Remember that as he leads and guides us in this life, it's all just temporary. It's all leading us towards glory. That's what our walk is about. This life is just temporary. This life is just a part of leading us into glory. And we're going to walk and walk and walk with God until we're not. And he says, come up. That's the end result of all of this for the overcomers whose eyes are upon the Lamb and follow him and him alone. But it's always between you and God with these choices. And the thing is that when we are facing a choice, the warning, the wisdom behind it is never confer with man, human flesh, is between you and God. As we see in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. There we are. So the apostle knew that what God had revealed and showed his son to him, this wasn't flesh and blood. Man can't help me with this. This is between me and God. And God is going to at times allow your life an experience where it's no good conferring with human beings. You are facing God. It's between you and God. Flesh and blood will not help you in this. And if you've not gone through an experience like that, you will. And it makes a tremendous impact. It's a tremendous encouragement when you meet with God in ways like this, that you know you cannot confer with human flesh, with man. It's no good me talking with him or her. They will not give me that answer that only God himself will give. These are signs of maturity, of growing with God, you see. And sometimes we need to seek God. Sometimes we need for a while to go into fasting and to set ourselves aside to seek him over some things. But we mustn't always look to man. You see, when we confer with flesh, human flesh, that should be confirming to you what God is saying and doing. That's why I often say to you, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God should be a confirmation of the Spirit that is working in your life and my life, leading me to the Word of God, leading me by the Holy Spirit. That's why so often, and I know a lot of you share with me, you know, you say, gosh, what you shared today, God had shown me that. Almost word for word. Now, why does he do that with you sometimes? Why have you come and shared that with me? Because God is showing you that you reveal this by the Spirit, that flesh and blood does not reveal this to you. You see, few Christians really understand this because you have to walk with God. And sometimes you have to make those right choices. Sometimes we don't understand straight away. We're all in a process of learning still. And sometimes we don't get it immediately. So what do? We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater like so many do. We shelve it. And there'd be a right time when God will give me that understanding. He hasn't let me have it yet because there's probably a reason for that. I'm not ready. I couldn't take it maybe. Or I've got to learn some other things first before I then understand the bigger picture. Are you beginning to understand how God works with us? Both to will and do within us for his good pleasure, so that we make those right choices, you see. He doesn't want us making shipwreck of our faith. Not at all. He's called us to and assembled us together in his presence. This is all about his glory. This is what glorifies his name. I read it back to you in Ephesians 1:5, that we are his peculiar treasure that gives him that pleasure. And it's interesting, you know, as I bring this to a conclusion, when you seek God, he often doesn't say much what you're seeking him for or for those answers, but what he does do, he reveals himself to you. Why would he do that? Because he's getting your eyes off what is distracting you. And don't we get a lot in life that tries to distract us, to take our eyes off the Lord? So that's what he will always do when you seek him, or you're making a choice or whatever it is. He'll come revealing himself to you. I am your choice. And when you get that from your head to your heart, you know you can't go wrong in this walk. Sometimes we just have to tell him, Lord, whatever this costs, I will be faithful to you. And this is how he works with us. What does it say back in Joshua? And verse 22, Joshua 24 and verse 22. And it says, so Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And that is what we are. When we settle it, we choose, we become a witness, a reflection of that which we have chosen to follow God. And God will reflect himself in and through you, both individually and corporately. That is why I say you are a witness. You are a witness at work. You are a witness with your family. Wherever you are, you reflect, you are a witness because you have met with God. And the people know that you have met with God. They know you walk with the Lord. They may not tell you, but they know. They're watching. And this is what Joshua said to the children of Israel. He said, when you go over and you go in and root out the enemy, they will see that God is with you. You are a witness. You see? Little wonder why the enemy fights like he does, where he tries to put us down or whatever it would be. It's what God has placed within you. His presence, his glory, his spirit, all that he is and always has been and always will be, he has placed within you and me to be that witness. And all he asks is that we be faithful, that we look to him, that we keep hearing his word as he builds us up in the faith to walk with him. And he will show you that flesh and blood cannot give anything of this to you. This comes by the Spirit from above. And thank God for that. Thank God that we're being touched by him and not by man. That we are that clay on that potter's wheel, and the mighty hands of God are moulding us, perfecting us, working upon us to become like him. That's why it's not by might, not by power, it is the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is with us and upon us and through us.